Thank you for listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast. Hope you enjoy it. It's brought to you by Lakewood Chev. If you're looking for something unique, Lakewood has a large selection of special edition trucks by Chevrolet. Life is too short not to be special. Check them out at Lakewood Chev.
Get to Kevin Kurse from San Jose. Kevin, I know you and I talked earlier today, and I saw the Sharks tweet out a lineup. It looks pretty certain that no go with Joe Thornton tonight. Do you think he plays in the series?
Well, Tom McClellan seemed pretty certain about it, saying that he wouldn't expect him not to play unless his leg was cut off. So, I would think so. You know, it's hard to say. We were all watching him this morning, obviously, and I do think he was a little tentative. But, you know, if we're trying to investigate this a little bit, I go back to when he was hurt, and Jeremy Roenick said on the air that he suspected it was a sprained MCL. And if that was the case, that's usually a two-week injury. And Thornton was hurt on April 2nd. So we'd be coming up on about 2 weeks, you know, maybe by the time this series gets back to San Jose. But I think those of us who have gotten to know Joe Thornton know that he would go out there you know, the next day if he was able to. So I don't think you know, he's going to be sidelined for this whole series unless there's really something wrong.
Kevin, the Sharks, even with Thornton and Couture this season, didn't have an abundance of offense. At the very best, they're going to have Couture and Thornton at something less than 100%. How does that play into the series going into it?
Yeah, it's an issue, no doubt about it. This team's offense was so good last year, and they really struggled to have a consistent attack throughout the course of the season, and that includes Thornton and Couture, frankly. You know, both of them, their numbers were down off of last year. But I think the biggest issue, more so than the main guys, was that they just didn't get the depth scoring that I think was expected, and that includes guys like Jonas Donskoy, Joel Ward, Chris Tierney started to play a little bit better at the end there. Mikhail Bodker was brought in the offseason. You know, these guys, I think, were expected to do more than they did. So that's number one. And then number two is the power play. This was a team that finished third in the power play last year that is 25th at the end of this regular season. And that's just, you know, it's inexplicable, really, because they kept that top unit together pretty much the whole time, with Thornton, Burns, Couture, Marlowe, and Pavelski, and that was the group that had been together for years, and they just didn't get it done. And, you know, they didn't get a power play goal from their second unit since I think it was February 9th. So, there are some real offensive issues, even, you know, with or without those two guys in the lineup.
Kevin mentioned the power play because, you know, San Jose's been pretty dominant on the power play, hovering, you know, in the top 10, in the top 5, top 2 for a long time, around 21-22%. They're down significantly. They're the worst playoff team power play percentage-wise of the 16 teams here, and it's basically the same guys. What hasn't worked on the man advantage this year?
You know, I think that it just became a little bit too predictable, and you look at the guys they have on the power play. Brent Burns is going to shoot the puck. Joe Pavelski is going to try to tip the puck in the slot. Thornton isn't going to shoot the puck. He's going to look to pass. And then, you know, you have Marlowe, who, you know, sometimes is engaged, sometimes not. And then Couture, you know, is the fifth guy, and he actually led the team in power play goals. So you talk about him being absent if he doesn't play tonight. I think he's going to play, but if he doesn't play, that hurts the power play even more. But, yeah, I think it just became a little bit too predictable. And the part that I never really understood was that the coaching staff didn't try changing it up at all. They pretty much left those five guys out there to hope that they would work through their problems, and they never really did. So, you know, I think if you're trying to defend the Sharks' power play, the first thing you try to do is take away the shot from Burns. And so much of it runs through Brent Burns that if you can keep him from getting those shots through or pressure him, then you're probably going to have success. I don't think it's really all that complicated.
Kevin, for the first time in a long time, the Oilers have the kind of offensive firepower that is a game changer. You know, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, line mates on that one line, and of course Eberle and Milan Lucic have come on late. But McDavid had 8 points during the regular season series. Is the matchup that DeBoer is going to want, is that going to be Braun? Is that the best bet, or is he going to try and get a forward line out there against him? What do you expect his approach to be?
Well, I think that he's going to try to get Vlasic and Braun out there as much as possible against the McDavid line. And if you go back to the Sharks' success in the playoffs last year, those guys just did a great job against the top scorers on the other team. And you know, I know Connor McDavid is a level above some of the names I'm going to mention here, but Tyler Toffoli had 31 goals in the playoffs in the season last year. He was held to just one assist in the first round. Vladimir Tarasenko didn't get on the board till game 6 of the Western Conference Final. Philip Forsberg had one goal and was a -9 in the 7-game series with Nashville. So you talk about the three top guys on the other team, they really didn't do anything. And that was probably the biggest reason for the Sharks' success that they had up until that Stanley Cup final. And the problem they ran into with Pittsburgh was they were just deeper up front. And Pete DeBoer has mentioned many times that Phil Kessel being on their third line was really what killed the Sharks. They just didn't have an answer for Pittsburgh's forward depth. So I think if you're a San Jose fan and you're looking for a reason for optimism, that would be it. Because, you know, let's face it, the Oilers have a very, very good top line. But after that, their depth up front, I think, is lacking a little bit. So if Vlasic and Braun can play that tight defensive game, and if Martin Jones can return to form like we saw in the playoffs last year, then I think the Sharks want to keep this. Obviously, they want to keep it low scoring, I think. The lower scoring the series is, the better shot they have. And I think the more they play at 5-on-5, it's also something they're going to try to do here.
Kevin Kurz joins us from San Jose. Sharks taking on the Oilers. Now, Kevin, the interesting thing about the Joe Thornton injury is it not only takes him out of the lineup, but it moves Patrick Marleau to center. And you know, I was talking to you earlier, a lot of guys don't think he's as effective there anymore. How come?
Yeah, I don't think so either. And frankly, I'm a little confused why Pete is still going with that, because you look at that line after those two guys went hurt. It was Marleau, Joel Ward, and Jonas Donskoy, and it didn't really look right. But, Pete wants that strength down the middle. I guess he likes Chris Tierney as the fourth line center. If it were me, I would have put Marleau on the wing of Tierney and maybe called up someone. They have a couple options in the minors, but they're not going to do that. So, Marlowe's slowing down a little bit. I think he likes playing on the wing. I think he likes playing on the Couture line. He started in the bottom nine and was there for a little while, worked his way up to the Logan Couture line, and then he was really playing his best hockey when he was on the second line left wing, obviously before Couture went out and got hurt. So, that's, I think, a little bit questionable. He's a guy to keep an eye on. We'll see how long Pete goes to that if it's not working. But, you know, on the other hand, I think the real key to this series from the Sharks' perspective is Thomas Hertl, because he's a guy that they've desperately wanted him to become an everyday center. You know, he started on the wing, started with the Thornton line, came up as a rookie, had all those goals, but they do envision him at the center long term. And he's had these knee injuries, so, I'm not sure he's at full effectiveness right now, but I think the Sharks were happy with trying to get that Hertl line with Yannick Hansen and Mikael Backer out against the McDavid line when these two teams saw each other recently. So if Hertl, I think, can play at a high level, if he can play center, he was outstanding in the playoffs last year. If he can find that game and he can start to thrive at center and, maybe pick it up and play a little bit more consistently, that would be a huge plus for this Sharks team.
Kevin, you mentioned the matchups. We know Vlasic and Braun, of course, that's who faces McDavid a lot, and the Oilers aren't going to be too worried about that. McDavid plays against all the top defensive kind of shutdown defensemen. But you mentioned that Hertl Backer line, and you know Backer did have one good game against the Oilers this year, had the hat trick. Is it the speed of that line that's the reason why he'll want to try to get out there? Because I think if you're Todd McClellan, you're going to want to try to get McDavid out against Marleau.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think it is the speed. And obviously, you know, they brought in Hansen, trade deadline acquisition. He's a speedy guy. You know, he's a little bit of a, what's the politically correct term? He's a little bit of a pain in the butt to play against, right? He can bring that attitude, that grit. So maybe there's a little bit of thought there. Maybe Hansen can try to get under the skin of him a little bit. Those guys are Backer and Hansen have known each other since they were kids. And frankly, I think part of the reason that Hansen might have been brought in was try to get Backer going, just because they are childhood friends and Backer's been up and down basically throughout the entire season. He's been benched in third periods of some games with a healthy scratch at one point. Maybe having his countryman out there and his buddy helps to motivate him a little bit more to, because, you know, Hanson is a guy that plays a pretty honest game and gives a pretty good effort on a nightly basis. So that's the, again, I agree with you. I think that's the line that they want to get out there against the McDavid line, because you want some speed. You want a guy that can finish his checks, I think, like Hanson can. That's what I'm going to look for. I'm going to see how much that, you know, that's the most interesting aspect of tonight to me is, are the Sharks going to be able to get that line out there against the McDavid line? Because I would think that's the preference. And, you know, at the same time, Logan Couture is probably their best two-way center when he's healthy. I'm not sure how healthy he is, obviously, here. So I think that's a matchup that the Sharks would be comfortable with if that's what it came to be. But, yeah, I would imagine that if you're Todd McClellan, you probably want to get McDavid out against that Marleau line.
Kevin, one thing about the Sharks over the years, and the record speaks for itself, they could beat you with skill, but they could also beat you with size, and a lot of that size was their skill. But when I look at the Oilers now, I don't see a group that's going to get pushed out of games, not with Maroon and Lucic and Cassian. The back end can bang some. I used to see an obvious advantage for San Jose there. I don't see it now. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, if you go back to this team last year, they were a little bit bigger. They had Roman Polak back there on the third D pair. You know, he's not going to win any Norris trophies, but he does add a little bit of size, and I think he was important on the penalty kill. And to me, I look at, you know, when the Oilers are on the power play and they're going to park Milan Lucic there in front of the net, I don't know who in the Sharks team other than maybe Brendan Dillon is going to be able to move him out of the way. So that's a concern I would have from San Jose's perspective. But, yeah, you're right. It's not a team that's as big as it used to be. You know, guys like Douglas Murray, Ryan Clough, they're not around anymore. It's been a few years removed. But, you know, that said, I think they are pretty – tough team in terms of their leaders, you know, in terms of guys like Joe Pavelski and Thornton. I think they can still play that heavy game. But it is a little bit different team, I would say, than in years past in that regard.
Kevin, should be an electric atmosphere tonight in Edmonton. We'll see you down at the rink. Appreciate your time.
Okay, anytime, guys. Take care.